Our text today is taken from Romans chapter 6, verse 15. If you'd like to turn to that, those of you who are at home, those of you who are here can read it on the screen. And as you turn to that, for those of you who are here, we have two very special guests, and that is Jose Martinez and his wonderful wife, Nellie. You'll be hearing a little more from Jose a little later, but we're really, really glad you're here and grateful for your ministry through Team Challenge in Puerto Rico. Now, our text today is from Romans chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 15 through 23. Let's hear the word of the Lord. What then, should we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness or sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. For now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
By crossing all sorts of sexual boundaries.
sit behind you. One of them may be sitting in your seat, if you know what I'm talking about. Right?
Amen.
Amen. But you see, this argument is not a new argument. The psalmist said there's nothing new under the sun. This is the same argument that Paul is dealing with back in Romans 6. In fact, he begins his chapter in verse 1 with this question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That's what Paul's critics are arguing. Should we not keep on sinning to make God look better? Because every time we sin, God has to forgive us. Every time he forgives us, it shows his grace. It makes him look better. So let's keep sinning. Do you have that logic verse? In other words, Paul's critics are saying, hey, Paul, if we're actually saved by grace and not by works, then hey, works don't matter. We can live however we want. We can live like pagans because it's all by grace, right, Paul? So you see the context here of that question, how those sorts of arguments never really die, they just get recycled into modern times or modern language. Right? So what is Paul's response to this argument? To this false, phony, self-serving, heretical doctrine of cheap grace? What does Paul say to this? Well, he dispels it by comparing it to slavery. As he says in the next verse, verse 16, do you not know if you present yourself to anyone as a obedient slave? You are slaves of the one whom you obey. Either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. In other words, Paul's saying, let's face it, we're all slaves to something or someone. Right? For example, all of us are to some degree slaves to fashion. You know, it's funny, sometimes watching old movies, you see them back a couple decades ago, and you look at the kind of glasses people are wearing, and you think, man, those look weird. You ever notice that? What were they thinking wearing those glasses like that? You know what they were thinking? They were thinking they were cool. Right? Because we were wearing the same ones. We thought we were cool. Why? Because we're slaves to fashion, aren't we? But it's not fashion, it's something else. Whatever we give ourselves to, we are a slave to, right? Now, years ago, pot smoking, loose living, free will, Bob Dylan, shocked the world by announcing that he had become a Christian. Any of you remember that? As the story goes, he got right away busy writing new songs. He got together a backup gospel band, and he went on tour, and one of his hit songs was a song you probably heard. You gotta serve something. Remember that song? Yeah. You gotta serve something. It may be the devil. It may be the Lord. But you gotta serve something. That's a great song. Story goes, one of his early concerts, he was giving this concert, and he sang that song. And the crowd didn't like it. They started booing. And as he kept singing, they booed all the more. So finally, Dylan just walked off the stage. Afterwards, one of the concert goers said, man, I am ticked off. I did not pay to be told I'm a slave. I'm not a slave. I'm free. The only person I serve is myself. Now, what a foolish statement that is, right? But the biggest tyrant of all is our ego, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So Paul states a fact in modern psychology here, but he says that whatever we give ourselves to, we become slaves to, whether that be money, greed, power, position, pleasure, pornography, drugs. I don't care, whatever you give yourself to, whatever you invest yourself in, you become a slave to that thing. you're in a marriage. Hey, why don't you get a little on the side? Why don't you cheat a little bit? It's not going to kill your relationship. It's going to enhance it. It's going to make it more interesting. It'll be interesting, wouldn't it? Right? And they tell you, well, it won't kill the relationship. Or maybe in business, the devil says, look, why don't you come to the court? Why don't you do something a little unethical, a little something on the table here on the side? Because, you know, that's not going to kill your career. That's going to enhance your career. You're going to become more successful. That's not what the devil tells us. What about this drug? This drug can't kill that. It's going to make you better. It's going to make you smarter. It's going to give you more energy. It's going to give you more clarity of mind. You'll have more focus. In fact, you'll be in the moment, maybe. Isn't that what the world says? It does. Well, what does Jesus say? John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus says, I tell you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You see, it's not only St. Paul who says that. Jesus said that as well, because it's true. Sin doesn't stand still. Do you know that? Sin keeps growing. The more we give into sin, the more sin wants. The more we invest it, the more it demands. And it becomes our master. And we become its slave. And you know that's true from personal experience, don't you? We all do. So who are we going to serve? We're going to serve ourselves. We're going to serve something. Who's going to be our master? What wages does that master pay? Death. So if that's the truth, then why do we serve sin? Good question. The fact is, though, we all got to serve something. So you've got to make a choice today. Now, Jesus told us in no uncertain terms that we've got to choose between him and evil. Jesus was pretty unequivocal about that. He said, look, you're either for me or you're against me. Let me just put it out there for you. You can't be neutral with me. You can't just consider me as some great religious teacher, some moral example. You either go with me or you go against me. Amen? That's the choice we have to make. So, which choice are you making today? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to invest in? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do the rest of the week? What are you going to do the rest of your life? What are you investing your life in? What direction are you going? Are you working for the wages of death? Are you serving the only one who can give you eternal life? That's the question. Now, personally, I think that's a no-brainer decision. But you would be surprised how many people out there don't see that. I mean, how many people do you know out there are slaves to just about everything imaginable except Jesus? So many of them are out there thinking that they have freedom from sin when, in fact, all they have is slavery to sin. Did you realize that so many words of the gospel and messages there are words that originate in the institution of slavery? One of the key phrases in the scripture is the word redemption. Where does that come from? From slavery. Back in the day, if you had a good-hearted soul, a compassionate person who saw a slave and the wages that they got and the hopelessness of their condition, you know what they could do? They could take some of their money and they could redeem that slave. They could buy that slave out of slavery and free them, right? Now, if that person were incredibly compassionate and selfish, you know what that person could actually do? Go to the master of that slave and say, look, I'm going to give myself over in place of this slave so that they can be freed and I will be your slave. Now, how many times do you think that happened in ancient times? Probably not too often. But I know one time it happened. And you know who that person's name was? Jesus. He had no debts. He owed nothing to
He owed nothing to Justice System Jefferson. But he saw us in our condition, in our enslavement, and he said, look, I want to give myself for them. I want to take their debt. I want to take their punishment, and I want to transfer to them my righteousness. And he did that on the cross. That's what redemption is, isn't it? He gave himself so that we might be free. That, my friends, is what you call costly grace. Right? Because it cost him his life. It cost the Father his only Son. That's not cheap grace, folks. That's costly grace. Right? But imagine how foolish we would be. Challenge for decades, and he is the new president here, and I'd like him to in my life. So at the age of 11 years old, I began to smoking pot. 13 years old, I began to sniffing cocaine. When I was 15 years old, we were like a big crowd of young people in Puerto Rico. Actually, I wanted to grow up in Rio Piedra in Copay. And we began to establish drug kiosks. We began to sell cocaine, marijuana, crack. So, long story short was, when I was 17 years old, that was the first time I put a needle on my vein. And the undercover began to destroy everything of our organization set up in Puerto Rico, in the metropolitan area. So, in 1999, I was totally destroyed. I was in prison. I was in Oso Blanco, Puerto Rico. I was facing 16 years of sentence. I was, what people say, I was completely bankrupt emotionally. In my feeling, my family don't have nothing to do with me. They just support me, send me something. But I was completely broken. I was so addicted to heroin, cocaine, but also I was so addicted to lifestyle. I was so addicted to the region that I born and grew up. You see, addiction is deeper. Did you know that 7 people die per minute because of addiction? Every year, 3.5 people die because of addiction. So, I was in prison and just chatting right there. I was completely lost. And suddenly, 1999, 24 October 1999, somebody invited me to a service when I was in the prison. I don't want to go to that service. I don't have nothing to do with God, with that kind of God. I was my own God. I was like Pastor Boss. I love that sheep of grace. Well, somebody invited me. I was dying. When I went to that service, 24 October 1999, I went to that service without expecting nothing. But that day, the cosmic grace found me. I was there, and something began to happen on me. I began to cry. When you live in addiction, you no longer cry. You have a dry tears. But I start crying, I begin to cry deeply. And I said, God, I don't want to receive you. I knew that it was God. But I said, God, I just need something. If you just can give me back my family. I feel alone. I feel so dry. I feel so empty. If you can bring me back my family, I will give my life to you. It was a day. It was a Sunday. A day of visitation. My surprise was when I finished the service, everything became normal. I was going back to my cell, and somebody called me. Jose. So the office is calling me. So I went there. I said, "You Jose Martinez?" Yeah. I said, "I am." I said, "Go and get dressed. Your family's waiting for you."
Wow. Amazing.
Let me fast forward. That day I received the Lord in my heart. God began to work with me. That costly grave really reached out to me. I began to have dreams. I began to have weird things begin to happen with me. But I was definitely sure that I was going to serve the Lord during all my sentence. 2 years passed by, and my lawyer called me. He said, "Something's happening, Jose. They begin to drop your charges. From 16 years now, they want to sentence you to 12 years. I said, "That's pretty good." He called me back. He said, "Hey, they keep dropping the charges from 12
receive you. Then they would fall and it's in charge. I said, yeah, whatever, take me to that program. So they took me to King Charge in Florida. That's another miracle. They took me out from the prison, they delivered me to the airport, and they sent me to outside Puerto Rico. So I went to King Charge and got into developing my call. I finished a program. I decided to do something to help somebody else. So I went to the seminary. And then I met my beautiful wife, Nelly. 16 years ago, we have been there. And then I continued my journey. You see, this is what happened with the Catholic grace. When you put yourself into that journey, God begins to empower you. And you begin to grow. So I continue growing all the way through. So now I've been with Teen Challenge 20 years. Me and my wife, we have been mission with Teen Challenge. We founded Teen Challenge. I've been assistant director for Latin America and the Caribbean region for Global Teen Challenge. And now they call us back to Puerto Rico. 20 years later, I'm back to the island. I'm walking in the same field that become an action. That's the cosmic grace. The same way that become an action now is a beautiful garden because the grace of God reached out to me 20 years ago in the same land of Puerto Rico and now sent me back to the Puerto Rico to be the president. The president and the CEO of this amazing organization called Team Challenge.
Amen.
We got more than 90 students now. We ready to open a women's program. And I'm so glad to be here this morning in Second Union Church and be able to meet Pastor Bob, Pastor Lacrisi, and all of you. Thank you so much for all the year that you guys have supported in China. The best is yet to come. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bob.
Amen.
Sin and death, but we might be free to follow you new every morning. For we are sinners, Lord, and we fall into sin. Lord, we pray that you would keep us from falling into a pattern of sin that destroys us. Lord, thank you that you're faithful to love us. Thank you that you're faithful in your word to remind us a better way, a way of life and wholeness, a way that enhances our relationships in you and in others. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent Jesus. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that